The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. We're here every Saturday, 5 to 6, Sunday from 3 to 4. You know, I always try to remember to keep on telling people the time, because I'll tell you how many times I see people, oh, by the way, what time was your show? 5 to 6 on Saturdays, Sundays from 3 to 4. It's funny, they always remember the station, though, AM 690. I think it's because of Mike Buck. And for those of you listening, we always try to promote our show every Friday morning about 6:45, 6:35. I go on, call from my house, call into the station, and Mike promotes the show, and we talk about what upcoming show this weekend is. So thank you for listening in, and thank you for all the people that came to our Aging in Place workshop. We're going to be doing a lot more things next year, so thank you very much for coming. Also, thanks to all our sponsors. That was really fantastic. We had over 3,000 people coming, and it was wonderful. A lot of crowds, so we're trying to do more events next year. So anyway, today, you know, one of our partners that I met, Cheryl Patikin, from Kinolau Care Home in Big Island, I met, and very interesting lady. She's typical, like my wife, went away for school and worked in the mainland and came back after a while to, you know, be near their parents. In fact, I just found out a friend of mine here moved back to, went to East Coast because he's wanted to spend time with his parents who moved to the mainland, East Coast of all places, and he wanted to spend the time now to spend time with them. So it's interesting. So anyway, Cheryl's calling in from the Big Island, and we want to introduce Cheryl Patikin from Kinolau Care Homes on the Big Island. How are you, Cheryl?
I'm fine, thank you.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I talked to you the other day, and it's interesting, you have a wealth of information, and I'm very impressed. So can you give our listeners a background? Because, you know, we are in a statewide, I always like to partner and find people on the neighbor islands. And I know some parts of Hilo you can't hear a station, but you know, they can go online, because all these shows we post on our YouTube channel, Cheryl. So you can have point people, go to our YouTube channel, search Generations Magazine, and you'll find Cheryl's radio hour. So anyway, give our audience, Cheryl, a little bit of your background.
Okay, I am currently now in Big Island, and to backtrack, I started in healthcare back in like 1983, newly married, didn't know what I wanted to do in life, and this opportunity presented itself, and I wasn't sure if being a nurse's aide was something I wanted to do, and I wasn't going to take the job. But my husband at the time, who unfortunately passed away from a work accident, said, well, if you don't try, you'll never know, so go ahead and take the job, try it. If you don't like it, then you can always leave. And that was the best advice I've had. I took the job, and I loved it. And 35-plus years later down the road, I'm still in the healthcare business.
But was that here in Hawaii, or is it on
Maui? That was back on Maui.
Maui. Okay, but then you said you moved away?
I moved away a couple years ago.
Okay.
A few years back. Okay. But during that time, I was on Maui, and that's how my healthcare.
Okay. But you say you've also consulted and dealt with a lot of facilities on the mainland.
Yes. When I moved away two and a half years ago, life experience, I managed the care home. I was fortunate enough in Northern California to get a job managing a care home, which eventually led me to open up my own care home there. And in the process, when families call in, I found there was a need for caregiving, so we also help people find caregivers, go through the process how to find the right care home, not only, you know, to get them to come to our care home. And that kind of started that way, and then eventually somehow it just kind of took a different path where I started to manage care homes from California to New York, just overseeing the process. For whatever reason, the care home administrator wasn't able to, so I would just oversee the process. So I did a lot of traveling.
Wow. And so What is it like? You know, I mean, I've been to, I think, one or two on the mainland. I think one in San Francisco, one in Washington D.C., and actually one in Vegas. Are there any differences or similarities between the care homes on the mainland versus here in Hawaii?
I found they're operational wise, they're pretty much the same, and between Hawaii and the mainland, the difference I see is people tend to keep their parents or loved ones home more often till they really can't care for them, and they're kind of more involved with care. Yes. And not saying the mainland is not, but there's a small percentage from my experience seeing and working through these care homes across the states. They, I don't want to call it a dumping ground, but it's, you know, they take them and they leave them, and they can be like 20 minutes, half an hour away, and you never see them, unfortunately. It's a small percentage, not saying they're all like that. So that's what I see the difference between Hawaii care homes. They're more attached emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they just, what's the word I'm looking for? More involved.
Well, I think in our Asian culture, we definitely make it a priority to, you know, take care of our parents. Albeit, you know, the younger kids are shying away from that more, or they're moved to the mainland, and it can be very difficult. I have a couple of clients right now where their daughters are on the mainland, and the parents are here. Actually, one's on the Big Island right now. And have a difficult time going back and forth. Can they afford it, first of all?
Yes.
And the communication, can they really understand what's going on with mom here by herself? And so I can see that, you know. And I liked, you know, that you've been spending some time on a diverse different places, because it's really important. A lot of families, you know, they don't plan ahead. You know, our aging in place workshop that we did on last month, I would tell you, my own guesstimate, by just going into a room filled with people, over 100 people, and saying, how many people is this the first time you're coming to our Aging in Place workshop? And Cheryl, 80% of people were first timers. So that just shows you that people aren't paying attention to the care of their parents or the needs until it hits them smack in the face. They get a phone call from Cheryl, my sister. Hey, by the way, Percy, dad's in the hospital, right?
Exactly. It's a high percentage, and I was surprised. Even on the mainland, it was like that. Like when they needed the care yesterday, that's when they start looking for care homes. So that's how I kind of had a second business consulting these families to do your homework, do your research, get all your paperwork, get everything in order. So when and if you need it, it's there, and you're not scrambling and, you know, going crazy, and because it's a process.
Yeah, and it's a very stressful time to be doing this process,
and it's
right?
Overstressed because now they're dealing with the loved one being sick, and oh my God, what do I do? We can't care for them, etc. You know, so it's more added on stress. So that's how I started the consulting part.
Are you still doing consulting there on the Big Island?
I haven't here on the Big Island as a business. We just do it here as a care home when people call in and. You know, it's like, yeah, we do have room, we don't. But, you know, if you need help, you can call us, because it's not all about us getting your family member here at the care home. It's about helping.
Right.
That's the way I like to see it. Helping so that when the time comes, you're not stressed, you know, trying to look for paperwork, trying to find something that you needed, you know, yesterday, per se. So I kind of do a little bit, but not as a business, just as a helpful service, I want to say.
Well, I think down the road, as this gets busier and busier time, I think people are going to want to call you over there at Kinolau on the Big Island. But, you know, like about 3 weeks ago, one of my classmates from MidPack, who I was in a dorm with, Alvin, came on and talked about this exact thing you're talking about. You know, he got a call from one of his mother's friends that he hasn't talked to in a while, saying, because he was on vacation in Oregon with his daughter, and saying, you know, you need to go check up on your mom and come see your mom more often because she's not doing good. The mom didn't call the son. They're her friends. I guess she's talking to her friends saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm really, you know, need some help, and maybe I should call Alvin, my son. So their friends would call the son and say, hey, you know, you better pay attention and come and see your mom. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, A week later, or the next, I'm sorry, the next day, mom moved in with him, and it got to be to the point where he couldn't take care of her anymore, and he eventually put her in Kalakaua Gardens on Kalakaua Avenue because he couldn't deal with all the stress of caring for mom, you know, in his own house. Plus, he's got a wife, you know, that's not always the easiest thing, right? Dealing with the spouse of somebody that's doing the caregiving, right?
Plus, it's a full-time job. It's a full-time job plus more because then they have their own life and management. And even for me doing it for as long as I have, it's still, I'm not saying overwhelming, but it's, for me, I find it time management. So from the time I wake up at 4 a.m., everything's time management, because if I don't do this, this doesn't get done. So everybody's like, why is it so, you know, like on a schedule? It's like, I have to. It has to be on a schedule.
Right.
Because if not, it gets sidetracked. And if this needs to be done before this.
Right.
And so for me, it's time management. And I find it helps for me. It's not for everybody.
I think you've been doing one of our webinars for our organization, Hawaii Pacific Gerontological Society, because you know, caregiving is going to be a big issue for everybody. And as you know, if you haven't been a caregiver, you will be at some point down the road,
yes,
either for your parents or auntie or a spouse
or somebody,
or people have already been a caregiver. And it's really important to understand that this is not easy. There aren't too many places you can go to really learn and fathom what it's like to be a caregiver. And really, really important.
Yes, and like, some people say, oh, yeah, I can do it. I was like, you know, kind of step back. It's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'm not saying you can't do it, but you can do it for a certain, you know, certain time, and then it comes to a point where it's not going according to your schedule, and then it just for, say, mom, whatever the reason, and then it gets all messed up, and then they get stressed. So I always stress on the planning. Start now, because right now, I don't know, it's like the baby boomers where it's like, okay, everybody was, even for me, that's why I kind of moved back. Well, that's why I moved back, because my parents were older, getting up there, and then my dad got sick, and he got sicker and sicker, and then I get a phone call from my sister, and I think I was lucky. I was in California at the time. He's like, you got to come home. I was like, what now? And he's like, because he wouldn't listen to anybody, and I got five other siblings, and he wouldn't listen to anybody, so they would call me, and I was like, do you know it's 12 o'clock? Do you know it's 2 a.m.? Well, we don't care. He's not listening. I was like, oh, my God.
Well, you have the experience, Cheryl. That's the main thing.
You know? And nobody could handle him, and, you know, I was like, you got to do this. You got to do this, and she was like, you got to come home. We need help. So I came home, got situated, and then went back, and then a couple of days later, she was like, okay, well, you know, he's really gotten bad, so I came back home, and put everything on hold and came back, because my mom was a caregiver. And then she's 70-something, so it comes to a point where she can't do it, and she needed the help. So good thing I still had resources back in Maui, so came back, got the resources, got her set up. And then that's how I kind of ended up back here in Hawaii. If not, I was going to go back to the mainland.
Right.
So I just got fortunate to acquire this care home. And I kind of was rethinking, like, okay, I want to try something different because I've been doing this for so long. And for some reason, every time that thought enters my mind, something brings me back to this field. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess this is my calling.
Well, I think it really is. And, you know, be a caregiver. You have that heart. You have that passion. So we're here with Cheryl Patikin from Kinolau Home Malama from the Big Island. She's actually calling in from Hilo side. But I, you know, so you'll see Kinolau Home Malama in our October-November issue. But Cheryl, you know, I'm looking at your ad here, and you're actually dedicating memory of your father, which I love.
Yes, because it's part of guilting, and this happens with all the family. Even though I was helping, and I was more of a financial part, because I helped more on the financial part because I was away. And to me, that still wasn't enough. Well, anyway, I felt like it wasn't enough. And so when he got sick, of course, I came home and I helped out. And then when he was really, really sick in the hospital and going back from Maui to Oahu, like every week, And the last time I saw him, he was really bad. You know, I talked to him and said, okay, you know, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. If you need to go, go. We'll take care. You know, mom will be fine. And that time I think I was part-time, and we got family members all over. So I went, I said my piece, and then I came back. And then he was really bad again, and I knew this was the time that he was probably not going to make it. And I, at that time, couldn't financially go back. So instead, I sent my daughter and granddaughters and nieces and nephews to go visit him. So I, in turn, didn't, you know, see his passing or get to experience his passing. So that is kind of my guilt. So when I acquired this care home, that's how it became, naming it after my dad and his memory.
Well, that's great. I mean, I love the story that you have in our October issue, and I think people are going to look forward to that. But really, you know, Cheryl, you have that passion. You know, I've been doing this for going on 15 years, working with seniors, and there's no better industry to be in, because the people are caring, they're appreciative, and you know, there's so much work that needs to be done in this area of care.
There is so much work, and I find education to somehow, classes, more educational for the families, because it's the families that will make the decisions and will have to do the homework, and more resources, even though there are resources.
But where do you find them?
Yes, where do you find these resources? Yeah. Even for me, sometimes, even though I've been around, you know, the block with this so many times, I still find new resources. So I try and keep up to date, and it's also helpful but working with other families that have come through. So I'm kind of fortunate that not only resources here, but resources up in the mainland also.
Right. And it's really important. And that's why we do Generations Magazine. You know, when I took it over, I rebranded it as a resource magazine, and with people like yourself. And that's why we started a radio show. And come October 4th on OC16 statewide, Generations TV is going to start at 7:30 Wednesday. It's October 4th.
Nice.
It'll run almost every day. And so we're going to highlight these kind of issues and resources. But really quickly, since we, you know, this is really what I want to do, is we do with the radio show, is educate people. And that's why we copy them and put them on our YouTube channel, so people can go back, listen to it at their own leisure. So you had a very simple question for people to think about it. Do you place your loved one in a care home, or do you stay at home? How do you make that decision? What are some of the questions people, families need to talk about?
Sometimes I say, this, of course, is all from my experience, so I want to make sure it's my experience. You know, I'm not an expert. It's just from what I've learned and experienced throughout the years. It's a difficult decision, because then there's always that guilt factor. So I always express to the family, I understand, but think about, you know, what would be best for your loved one, and what would be best for you and your family. Because if you're frazzled, then it's going to make them frazzled.
Right.
So it's not only affecting your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, it's going to affect you too. So have a family meeting, but and get everybody's input. And then, you know, whoever is the POA will make that decision. But again, sometimes, you know, too many opinions, you get too overwhelmed. And again, it's mostly the financial part. So that's why I stress, do your homework, see where you're at, what kind of insurance you have, so that when the time comes, you know what you can afford. And like I tell people that come through my care home, okay, this is how much we charge. Some people can, some people can't. But here's other options that, you know, your loved one can be taken care of, like in-home care, hiring caregivers, hiring a live-in.
Right.
So that's some of the resources that we like to give out, because not everybody can afford care homes or a facility.
That's probably the most determining factor when people have to look at care homes, because I don't like to use the word cheap or expensive.
Yes.
It is what it is. And, you know, because of Hawaii's real estate, it is probably more expensive than the mainland. But I think, you know, I think the first thing when I ever talk to people is that it really comes down to what kind of quality of care do you want for your loved one?
Exactly. And, right? And sometimes, so I always say, go check out a couple care homes, because it's the care home that you put them in is going to be their last home, and they don't transition well. So for say you put them in one care home, it doesn't work out, have a backup one that you can place them in, because they can transition, at least from my experience, once, and then after that it's just too traumatic. So
right.
That's why I stress, go do the homework. And from what I'm getting in, it's like, I'm tired, I've da-da-da-da-da-da. I was like, no, you have to do the homework. You have to go to 20 care homes if you have to.
Yeah, and, you know, I think the quality of care, what happens in terms in case of an emergency, what's the protocol, and get to know the care providers. And then also look at the resources that the family may have, yeah?
Yes. So, and then, again, it goes back to the financial. So, see whatever what you know, mom or dad or grandma or grandpa has as far as financial, what they can afford, what the sisters, siblings can afford, and that, so you have a base so that when you go to these care homes, you know what to expect. So when you come the time that you have to make a decision to put them, you know exactly what to expect. And not only financial, but the care home, these are the questions. So we give out a questionnaire. I just do it just because, like, okay, these are the questions to ask. This is what you look for. And it's, to me, it's helpful. Then that way, you know, it's easier for them.
So you think the cost is more on the neighbor islands for a care home?
It costs more here in Hawaii than it is on the mainland.
But I mean, more so Oahu versus neighbor islands?
It's pretty much, from the ones I've seen or know about on Oahu, it's pretty much the same.
It is.
The mainland is cheaper. Less expensive. I don't know why. Even for like Alzheimer's, dementia, that's the highest.
Yeah. They need more care.
That's more of a one-on-one. And even in the mainland, I find the price difference is way less than it is here in Hawaii.
Yeah. It's just hard to find good quality care here. And, you know, I mentioned this before, but I was talking to Clementina, who professor over at nursing school, and she says 60% of all the nurses in Hawaii are over 60.
Yeah.
And another 10 to 15% are over 50. So in 10 to 15 years, 70 to 75% of all the nurses will be retired. How is that?
Yes, and that's kind of where I'm at as far as age-wise. So I'm like, well, who's going to take care of me?
That's true. Well, I bought long-term care insurance last month.
Long-term care, yes. So, and then, of course, you know, we got our resources and all of that stuff. So not only do these families to find out, like, oh, wait, I'm getting up there. I need to be thinking of me.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't believe in insurance, let alone life insurance. They cannot afford the monthly premium, so they couldn't do it. But I tell people, you know, Medicaid right now, I think, is going to be very difficult down the road. I really think you're going to have to be poor, you know. And recently I heard that Attorney General's office is going to be actually going after Medicaid clientele that has an irrevocable trust. In the past, they didn't touch irrevocable trust, but they're going to have to now to recoup their costs. And so people that did an irrevocable trust, if you're listening, you better sit down with your attorney and might want to think about unraveling that if it's possible. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not.
Yes.
Depends on the attorney. But they're going to have to start putting liens on these properties. And, you know, unfortunately, there have been attorneys in town that promoted it by saying state can pay for your long-term care needs through Medicaid. And what the attorney actually does a lot of times is look at the irrevocable trust as an option. So please be careful if you do that. If you did it, talk to your attorney or get a second opinion from another attorney to see whether that option still is available for Medicaid planning. But you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm not a big, I mean, I love Medicaid for the right people, but you know, I really think the best quality of care and what you can afford is the best for families.
Yes.
You know, and you've seen it, I mean, you've seen it here locally, but we're seeing, especially on neighbor islands, people are just living longer, they're healthier than Oahu because they have less fast food over there, right?
Yes. People here in Hawaii live longer.
And it is amazing how you know, people don't realize the fact. If your mom's, you know, it's funny. I talked to my classmates. Yeah, my mom's 89, pretty healthy. I say, well, that's great. But she's not going to be like that forever, right?
Exactly.
You know, they're going to slow down.
It's the healthy, don't take any medication. I mean, grandma had, she was 96. She was a spitfire. She's like, kept me on my toes and just healthy all the way through till, bam, just went downhill and went downhill fast.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So you never know.
Right. And like I said, you're only a phone call away. Really quick, we're going to take a short break in a little bit. But I want to come back to talk about, see, Cheryl's got a ton of questions here, which are really good for you families out there that are you know, if your parents are needing placement or if you think down the road they're going to need placement, you need to pay attention. We're here with Cheryl Patikin from Kinalau Home, Malama on the Big Island. She's calling in from Hilo to talk about, help our families out there to start planning for that event at some point down the road. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. Cheryl, so hold on one second, okay? Hold on there, and we're going to take a short break.
We will be right back with Percy Ihara from Generations Radio. If you have any questions or want to be part of our discussion, give us a call at 296-5467. That's 296-5467. This is Generations Radio on AM 690 The Answer.
Moon Physical Therapy is here to help you back to recovery. Moon Physical Therapy is located on Ward Avenue across from Sports Authority. Physician prescribed for motor vehicle accidents, workman's comp, or that body pain that comes from rushing to play without warming up. Also, event cardiopulmonary rehabilitation with our one-on-one patient care. Moon's Aquatherapy heated endless pool allows for low impact exercise with less pain on land. We will give you the right exercises to get you back to health. Ask your doctor to prescribe Moon Physical Therapy. Moon Physical Therapy. We achieve results.
Aloha, this is Martha Clopin.
And Al Harrington. Choosing the right Medicare plan not only saves you money, it also helps you avoid headaches and heartaches down the road.
We want to remind everyone
to listen to a Medicare moment with Martha, Sundays from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. as we help answer important questions on Medicare so you can stay healthy, wealthy, and wise all year long.
Call me at 543-2073. 543-2073.
Oahu's newest senior living community, Ilima at Lehano, is now open in the heart of Kapolei. Within this beautiful new community, offering independent living, assisted living, and memory care, you will experience a feeling of ohana that provides a sense of community and peace of mind for our kupuna. A range of spacious apartment styles are available, from large studios to spacious one- and two-bedroom plans, most with a large private lanai. Be one of the first to call Ilima your home. Visit ilimaatlehano.com. Or call 674-8022.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit VoidVacationsHawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Howard from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back. And we got Cheryl Patikin on the line here from the Big Island talking about caregiving and home care placement. So it's really important for you guys to pay attention. You know, I always tell people that at some point down the road, you're going to need some form of care. At some point down the road, it's hard to believe we're not going to be able to drive anymore. So it's really important for the listeners out there and for those of you that have come to our Aging in Place workshop, can read the magazine, to really take heart to what we're trying to tell people is that at some point down the road, we're all going to need some form of care. So Cheryl's on the line. So Cheryl, welcome back to the Generations Radio, by the way.
Thank you.
So you have a lot of good questions here, a lot of things that people need to start thinking about, and they don't think about it. And I don't blame you. People don't think about caregiving until it really happens. But as your parent ages, you know, start asking them questions like, you know, Mom, when we can't take care of you anymore, would you want to stay here or can we go to a care home? You know, how much funds do you have available? All those kind of questions really have to be answered, don't they, Cheryl?
Yes. And it's always good, a good idea, in the beginning when they're, I shouldn't say all there, because then you get an idea of their wishes, like planning for a funeral. And that way, when, God forbid, the time comes, you're not, you know, trying to figure it out from the siblings, because again, I may think this, she may think that. So it's always nice to sit down, and it's the hardest, and I find they don't want to do that. It's uncomfortable, but I'm like,
it really is.
Uncomfortable as it is, it's, trust me,
it has to be done.
It has to be done.
Yep.
And it's going to be more uncomfortable later when you don't know what those wishes are and you got your siblings, you know, with all what they think. So it's uncomfortable, but unfortunately, it's going to be a lifesaver.
You know, Cheryl, you have a lot of good questions here that you email me. You should really put that on your website if it's not there already. Questions like, how do you choose the right care home? What kind of snacks they provide? Any special diets that need to be adhered to? What kind of daily activities? How does the staff, what kind of staffing there is when they change a shift? All these kind of really good questions that I think a lot of people need to pay attention to when they're looking for a care home.
It just makes it an easier process when you're searching for a care home. So I would say take a notepad, ask these questions, and from that, you know, and always look around. Look around and see what's going on, and if you can, try and visit, like in the morning or afternoon is usually when it's high traffic, when things are going on.
Right.
Just like how they say when you buy a house, go at different times, go at night, check out the neighborhood, go in the day. So I would tell the families, go twice, you know, go in the morning, go in the afternoon, go at lunchtime, you know.
So true, because a lot of times when if they know you're coming to home care, people don't know you're coming, they're going to make everything really nice.
Exactly, so that's why I say...
Not to blame them, but, you know.
Just like when I had a childcare business, we have an open door policy here, and even when I had my childcare business, everything was open door. And they was like, why? I was like, because I want you to be sure that when you come, at whatever time you come, that this is what we do, not, oh my God, she's coming at 2, so that's clean the house.
No, it's so true. I love the way you think. It's the same thing I've been thinking for a while, that these are real basic questions. You know, I like to think about alarm systems. Are there resident call button pendants available as well, right?
Yes.
And it's so important to have these kind of things. But, you know, really, what are some basic questions? Do they need to? So, like, a lot of people say, well, I went in there, and it looked really good. There was a lot of nurses there to a facility. And I was telling them, no, they're not nurses. There might be one nurse on staff, but the rest are aides. And they might be certified or not certified, right?
Exactly. And caregivers in Hawaii, you don't have to be certified because caregivers, you can't get certified. It's nurses' aide that's certified. And to work in a care home, you're a caregiver. As long as you have experience, you have your documentation, first aid, CPR. Some experience is helpful, so that's good. And even when people come through my care home, they're like, wow, your caregivers are not certified. I was like, no, they're not, but they have experience, and some is and some not. But you don't have to be. And so I ask, and it also depends on the type of clients that you have in your care home. Like I'm just a regular ARC care home, and also for expanded care for residents that need more care.
Can you explain to our listeners here that what's the difference between expanded care and ARCH care?
ARCH care is elderly that pretty much can do for themselves by bathing, feeding. Of course, everybody, you know, even me at times, we all have dementia. So we have a saying here, it's like we all live here because we're not all there. And as just got off track.
So it's basically about people that arches are for people that can basically handle themselves, just need
with
a place
minimal
to,
help. With right, minimal help, able body. It's more like a sleep shift. You don't have to get up every 2 hours. Extended care is more a skilled care where the person is bedbound.
Okay.
And they need feeding. They need medication, you know, given to them where they can't do for themselves.
What about for dementia, Alzheimer's patients? Is that come under expanded care as well?
That, it depends the level of care for the dementia client. There's different stages for Alzheimer's.
And so do you handle those kind of patients as well?
Yes, we do. And we have, I should say, not say, but the difficult ones where they can't be placed.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning no facility or care home will take them, which is unfortunate, but yes, we do.
So you make a comment right there that a lot of people don't know, that just because there's a bunch of care homes out there, and there might be a bed or two here, they don't have to take you, right?
They don't.
And a lot of times they will not, because they don't want anybody's difficult. Anybody might be a lot of work,
exactly.
Might be disruptive. I've had a couple
exactly.
of my friends that called me. Their dads was kicked out because they were disruptive.
Yes.
And it was interesting. Not necessarily. One was more verbal, and one wasn't physical, but got really loud.
Yes.
And it caused disruption, and it kind of
made other
clients fearful.
Yes, there's different levels, and. Mm-hmm. I always say you got the calmer ones where they sit there and they're nonverbal or they're, you know, soft spoken, and then you get the verbal abusive ones,
yes.
and then you get the combative ones where they're uncontrollable.
Right.
And it also depends, again, whatever the care home facility, the type of clients, more so for the care homes, the type of, I keep saying clients because I did other care homes, but it's considered residents. So the residents that's in your care home, so when I place people and take people in,
mm-hmm.
I have to match them with the residents that I have here so that it's, I want to say, cohesive.
Right.
Calmer. So we have had difficult ones, and like I said, I just acquired this care home January 1st. And from that time to this till today, we have taken in the difficult ones where they're denied at facilities or care homes and nobody wants to take them. And again, I go back with that in saying, you got to know how to handle them. If they're not difficult, you just got to know how to handle them.
Right. What's their trigger? What causing the outburst, right?
Exactly. So exactly what causes the trigger. And then when the trigger happens, how to handle that.
Well, you must be part psychologist, too.
You got to be psychology. You got to be counselor. You got to be caregiver. You got to be mom, dad, housekeeper. You have to have all those traits.
Yeah, you must be a great mom, too, because you really do. And I'm the only one part of the magazine, I'll be honest with you, that does not have firsthand experience with caregiving. But everybody that works with us in a magazine all have firsthand experience, except for myself. But because I work with seniors all day long, I can understand to a certain extent, but
yes.
But multitasking is another thing, right?
That's
for
a
caregivers.
Big thing.
You must be great at multitasking. You have six kids yourself, something.
I have I had a lot of nieces and nephews.
Oh. But yeah.
But it comes with the management. It comes like with being a mom. You gotta know how to multitask. It helps. Mm-hmm. You don't gotta, but it really helps. Mm-hmm. And for me it's like if I don't have coffee, it's like, I got to have coffee. That keeps me sane, too, around here. So that's the big joke with everybody.
Well, I'm sure you must empty your gas tank every day, right? That's why you have to drink coffee.
It's like my coffee budget is, trust me, high. So I got to have my coffee. That keeps me sane. But again, it's the passion, and you got to love what you do.
Well, I love your passion for that. We're here with Cheryl Patikin from Kinalau. Care home in the Big Island there. Cheryl, really quickly, let me find your number here. What's the number that best people can reach you at?
Let's see. The care home here is 982-5415.
Right, there you go. I got that. And do you guys have a website at all? that people can go to, or are you still working on that?
I'm still working on that. It's like, as long as I've been here, it's like, you
it's only been
have time? You still don't have time.
Well, you're dealing with families in the care home and multitasking, but, you know, it's really important that people do. I think the main goal of this show is really to tell people be proactive, because at any time down the road, you're going to need some form of care and stuff's going to hit the fan. So if you know so much about this process, but what are some basic questions that when they're looking online or look off a list that the hospital gives you, what are some basic questions? Are there basic questions or with different levels of care? That's one of the areas I want to go, the different levels of care.
Yes. Basic questions, how many people do you have how many staff do you have per shift?
Now, is there a minimum number of staff on half? Because I know a lot of times the main caregiver will not go out shopping and not come back and has a daughter just stay there.
Like here it's five, so one is good. And again, it depends on your residence in your care home. If you have a dementia or Alzheimer's and your property is not fenced in, you need two people.
If you have what now? An Alzheimer's patient?
Alzheimer's, dementia. And again, that depends if they're a wanderer and what level of care.
And so if you have an Alzheimer's patient, you need to have two? Is that what you said?
We do. It depends on their level of care. Like some of them are wanderers. I call them wanderers, where they see the door and they go straight out. So if your property is not gated in, secured, they're on the highway. So you always got to watch them. But usually it's one. And yes, like I go out and I do my errands and I shop and then I have somebody here. But for me, I like to have two just to be safer. But technically you can have one. And again, they have to be, everybody's licensed by the state, so we have to follow state rules. And, you know, as long as they have their credentials for state CPR, they're okay. You know, and there are protocols that you follow. God forbid there's an emergency.
Yeah, what happens in an emergency? Did it call 911?
Yes. It depends on the severity of the emergency. And anytime for us here, they hit their head, or we think they may hit their head, it's a 911 call. Sometimes they just fall because they lose their balance. So, of course, you assess them and check them out. And then we watch them, and then they're okay. But pretty much you can tell when it's more severe that you need to call 911. But everything is 911.
I saw one of your questions here about food. Is there any kind of a certification of what kind of food is served, or they can they serve any kind of food?
Yes, we have to follow a specific diet. Of course, if we have a diabetic resident, then we do a diabetic diet. But healthy, nutritious, and before we even get to this point, we have to go through a bunch of classes, which is called ARCH classes, A-R-C-H. And they go through everything, medication, nutrition. So they have to have so much ounces of protein, so much vegetables,
wow,
so much fruit.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So much milk, so much bread, so much eggs. So everything is, I shouldn't say science, but it's all half an egg, you know, one piece wheat toast.
So they eat pretty healthy then?
They have to because, yes.
Can I eat Simon all day long?
Simon, we do have Simon, but it's rare and it's a specialty, but only because, of course, they're older, so they lacking certain things, so that's why they need, you know, unless you have a diabetic client or other, you know, residents that need special diets, soft diets, but pretty much it's healthy and nutritious because there's diet menus we have to follow, how much protein they have per day, how much, you know, like the five food groups they need each day. For each meal.
Wow.
So we have to have menus posted so that if families ask, they can see, oh, they had this, and, you know, we're not feeding them McDonald's, which I don't do that, but...
They have great French fries.
They do, but no. Sorry.
When I used to work out a lot, I would order a salad and a side order of French fries. Seriously. It's like, well, I'm eating healthy, so I can eat some French fries. But anyway, you have a really good question here on your list of questions to ask at care home. because of what's going on in Florida and Houston. Very good question. What, in case of a natural emergency, what is it? Do people have a protocol for that?
We have to have protocols for every fire, flood, earthquake. What else? Natural disasters. We have to have a protocol.
So I don't know if you saw the pictures or heard about Houston. There was a picture of a bunch of seniors in a care home. The water was up to their
walker.
Yeah, I could not believe it. Why didn't the care home operator get them out earlier?
That's a good question, because I'm sure they knew it was coming.
I mean, they must have had at least an hour to get them out of the house or call a family, or at least, if not more than that. But unbelievable.
I don't know what to say about that one, but like for us here. Us here, we have, for how many residents we have emergency kits.
Oh.
Packed, ready to go, everything they need.
Really?
For whatever, yes, we have to have that. So that, God forbid, when we get the siren, all we do is load them up and we're not scrambling, you know, to put things together. And so it helps. And for me, I'm OCD, ADH, everything you could think of. So everything's, I like to think ahead, and that way I don't forget in the midst of whatever's happening to pack this or do that. So we have everything packed. So, and yes, we do have protocols where we're going to go, what we're going to do, which direction we're going to go.
Wow.
We have to have all these procedures in place. And it also helps the families to know that if they can't get a hold of us, this is the route we're going to take, and this is where we're heading. And for me, these are the vehicles that I'm using to transport my residents in.
Well, that's really great, Cheryl. Now, are you able to say what the average cost is for like an arch or an expanded care?
I can say for me here at the care home, it can start at $42
a month, people.
A month. Yes.
A lot of people go, wow, that's a lot, a month. Well, yeah, it's been like that for a while. That's actually pretty good.
And
if it's below $5,000.
Same like with, I always reference back to my child care business, because it's the same. You know, it's like, oh my God, that's so much. I was like, okay, but if you break it down by how many days in the month, how many hours, and then goes from there, and this is how much you're paying actually per hour. So that's how I find to make my, you know, residents' family understand, or whoever comes through, that this is how much you pay for an hour. It's like, my coffee costs this much, more than this.
The
big number, you know, of course it's overwhelming, but then when I break it down and they're like, oh, okay, now I understand. So you say it's like 42 on up for an able-bodied person, meaning they can bathe, they just need little reminders like, okay, don't forget, here's your medicine, okay, don't forget, which I want to say minimal care. So that's what it can start off. And other people may start lower because they take one or two, or so it can go up until five residents. After five, then it's a whole different set of rules and regulations and for your care home.
So what about more expanded care, or the people that need a little bit more care? But how much did that run?
A little bit more care, and I'm talking expanded care where a client is bedridden. They need help with everything.
Right.
It can go from $7,500 and up. And for a Alzheimer's client that really needs a one-on-one, because you have to be 24/7 eyes on them.
Uh-huh.
It can start at 85.
That's actually lower than Oahu.
It's way lower than the facilities.
Oh yeah,
facilities start at 12,000, 14,000.
Oh yeah,
on up
12 to 14.
And unfortunately, you know, like over here, that's why I like to be secure, because then they can go in and out, and that's kind of how it should be, I think. And the families come and they're like, well, they don't know. It's like, they don't know, but I know. You know, and that's unfortunate how they think about it, you know, like, oh, we don't care. I was like, well, I know. Even though they don't know, I know.
Let me ask you this. So a lot of times I get calls from people that I get a call saying, you know what, my mom's going to be discharged. Today's Monday. They're going to be discharged Friday. I got a list of places that for rehab first and then for care placement. Mm-hmm. The hospital or rehab place will give you that list. And it's, unless they have somebody that gives them an idea.
Where to start.
Yeah, exactly where to start. And exactly what level of care. Really, don't they have to query the social worker or the person at the hospital about their loved one's future needs? Isn't that right? How much more care they're going to have? How's the rehab going to be? All these kind of things.
That's the first place to start. And of course, the social workers up at the hospital and these other, you know, agencies.
Right.
Have lists, and like I say, I'm used to it. Just starting to learn who I am and the name,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm just starting to network, which is nice, and they know who I am and what I can do in terms of care. So that's the first place to start, to get a list of care home names, and then the doctor, their primary doctor, will be the one that can help them to determine what kind of care needs they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, when you go in these house visits, try and take them with you, because the care home operator needs to assess them. And also by that, it helps them to, if they should be placed in that care home, then in their mind, they're like, okay, yeah, I've been here. So it's not too traumatic when they have to move in.
Mm-hmm.
And it just saves time of you having to go back, because that's how the care home operator can really get an idea if they can, you know, care for your loved one or not. So I always say, if you can take them with you, take them with you, because then you can watch how they interact with the other residents, or how they adjust to the environment and the home, mm-hmm. and the workers.
Hmm. But I mean, when you get a family come in, they're all stressed out. They got to place them like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
What is the quick assessment that you do of that client?
You got to
qualify that client too. You're not going to take anybody off the street, right?
No, and only because I want to make sure that myself and my staff is able to care mm-hmm. for them. You know, that's my concern. And if they need a placement yesterday, what I usually do is, they can't bring them, then I go to the home. Because for me, by going to the home, I can see their routine. And I always say, nope, I need to, unless it's an emergency situation like the one we're talking about, then yes, we take mm-hmm. them in and then we can assess. And sometimes there's still time that you can assess. So I like to go to the home, or send another staff to go to the home and evaluate, because I need to see their routine, because pretty much their routine has to be the same routine when they do come here.
Right.
So there's no interruption and things like that. So they are, you can take them on an emergency basis.
But they got to be able to afford you as well, right? They got to make sure they can pay.
Exactly. So we ask for financial records just to show that they can pay for at least, you know, a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
And before they even get to that point, there's specific paperwork that's needed.
Oh, really? Like, what kind of paperwork?
There's paperwork they need before they can get into a care home. And sometimes in the emergency, we have a lot that we get from the hospital that need placement now. Mm-hmm. So that's the different qualifications. So we do take them and then follow up to get the needed paperwork that we need. And paperwork they need is, they need medication orders from the doctor, so we know what kind of medications they're on. Doctor needs to fill out the level of care that they need.
Wow, a lot of things. So actually, we got
not a lot of paperwork, but a handful of paperwork that's required for the care home.
Wow, Cheryl.
That's from the doctor.
See, that hour went by so fast. So much information, Cheryl. You're so good.
Thank you.
Cheryl Patigan from Kinolau Malama Care Home on the Big Island. Cheryl, if people want to contact you and need your services, how can they reach you at?
I can reach at 808-982-5415.
Cheryl Patigan is in the magazine now, in the October coming up issue. Cheryl, thank you so much. You've been a great wealth of knowledge, and I'm definitely going to have you on my speed dial for my phone. So appreciate it so much. Listen, you have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Cheryl, from the Big Island. Okay, everybody, thank you very much. You guys have a great weekend. As always, aloha and live well.